this thing. Don't title again.
And I did not live the little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick. Chicken in the oven. Yo. Tuesday, April 19th, 2016, Bluffers Park. And this would be yours truly, the host of the Dixon Jeans podcast, the Scarborough Dude. I think I need that on my bench in memory of Ken Bull, a.k.a. the Scarborough Dude. I mean, I could just have the Scarborough Dude, and then nobody would know. No, then, you know, hey, if you're interested, Google it. Who the hell's a Scarborough Dude? But again, hopefully that's a ways off. You do, I'll be 68 next week, and you do sort of reach a point where you think, okay, now, you sort of, you're going downhill. You know you are. Physically, you're going downhill. Mentally, you're going downhill. You're starting this slide. You've still got a lot of, you hope, years ahead of you, or the days you've got, the months, the days, the months, the time you have stretching ahead. You know you're going to get a lot of pleasure out of it. If you want, you can enjoy it. So it's not like, oh my God, life is over. I'm just dying. You don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. Maybe some people do. And of course, I'm fortunate. I don't have some nasty disease. You know, I got a, this and that falling apart in the body. You know, beat up old car. But a very, very positive outlook on life. Can I say that? Is that true? I'm not so sure how I feel about my fellow man, but I do hold on to some optimism. I was in Kingston. I just got back. Actually, we stayed over. A wonderful time, as always. A dinner party. And the conversation got a little out of hand. I got into a conversation about my church. And, of course, the answer is, well, it's not a church. If the minister is an atheist, it's not a church. I'm saying, you can't just say that. It's always been a church. When does it stop being a church? If the minister is an atheist, she didn't believe in God, then it's not a church. Can't call it a church. And the argument sort of got heated and loud. And we were right sitting next to each other, this person and I. Person who, very interesting guy, very well, an art history teacher. A professor of, but unfortunately not too many people studying art history anymore. And so he is no longer teaching. But knows history certainly much at a deeper level than I ever will. And we had a very, very good discussion afterwards. So the argument got heated, but we ended up, you know, I passed him a nice bud of some of the my medicinal marijuana that I had passed around the table. We had a doctor at the table too, and the doctor's husband, and our good friends in Kingston. And I passed this around to show them, hey, look what I got. So, and I also gave him a copy of Dixon Jean's Volume 20, Number 3, and encouraged him to write something in. Not too scathing, hopefully. But the conversation afterwards, you know, we left the table, went on till 1:30 in the morning about religion, spirituality. He was deeply into Jainism, I believe. Doesn't like, can't hurt anything, can't kill anything. So, now, how does that relate to where, how would I get off on that tangent? Kingston, God, godless. Damn it. There, what you've, you know, if you've just listened, you can hear the thread and you're saying, go back. But I you know, it's, I don't want to stop now and go back to find out how I got onto that. There was a link. Oh, getting old, dying, still having fun. All right, we'll pack that for a while. We even talked about the out of the blue. You know, what would it be like to give up our home in Scarborough, sell a home at a decent sum of money, and buy something? You know, hopefully for maybe half the price in Kingston. I don't know if that's realistic or not. But hey, I'm not ready to leave Scarborough just yet. Okay, so it does relate to getting rid of things and hanging on to things. So this age I'm at, the 68, you're sort of feeling, well, okay, now I've got to start letting go. You're getting rid of stuff I don't need anymore, and shedding, you know, and keeping getting it simpler. So when you finally do have to move it, you're putting a home. You've only got about, you know, a little box of things that are left. And, of course, John Meadows will attest to the fact that I have a lot of things. He was in my basement bar a week or two ago. Took some pictures with his Rolly, his camera. Was it the Rolly, the Rolleiflex? Is it called the Rolleiflex? Can't remember. No, not Hasselblad. It's Hasselblad. I'm sorry. And yeah, that was fun. It was a nice evening. We had a couple of beer together and talked. And I played some records and showed him around at all the things I have. And John wrote a nice little blog post about it. The thing is, I'm not ready to get rid of that stuff yet. It's a burden. So the idea of selling the house, moving to Kingston, obviously into a smaller home, my wife says, no, wait, not, you know, you can't bring that crap with you. I'm like, well, what do you do? I mean, this is not just stuff you put by the curb and say, help yourself. I've talked in previous years, I guess, but hey, having a sale, invite people over, you know, people you've known for a long time. Come on in, take your pick, and we'll name a price. We'll work out a price, and you walk away with it, a genuine Scarborough Dude artifact. I still like that idea. Build up a little something. But anyway, the point I'm trying to get to is that I still get so much pleasure out of things. For example, that library that I have that's growing instead of cutting back. You know, I could go to the library and read a book if that's what I want to do. But I'm still at the point where I want to have things. I want to keep things. And I want to get more things. And it's not ridiculous, extravagant stuff. It's the fun of going to a good quality used bookshop. And those are, you know, harder and harder to find. And going through their sections and coming up and finding a book and saying, aha. So, I may have mentioned that Brian and I spent an afternoon in the Only Cafe last week. I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but anyway, we did. It was fun. It was really great. Out in the patio in the back was beautiful. And I should switch from evenings to daytime drinking. And we went to Circus Books right on the Danforth. And I picked up a book, The True Story of the Beach Boys, called Heroes and Villains. And at first I thought, I don't know if I really even want to care about the Beach Boys, you know. And I know the story. I've seen the movie, you know, about Brian Wilson's going crazy, living in his bed for years, you know, his house with the floor filled with sand and the grand piano in the middle so he can compose and his bare feet and feel the sand between his toes and all that stuff. Bits and pieces here. But decided, no, get it. It's a thick, heavy book. $9 by Stephen Gaines. And I am enjoying it so much. And this is the point I'm just trying to get to. I have so much pleasure in the moment. Again, your life is finite. Your days are numbered. You're counting down, you know. So you got to take each day and you got to do the things that make you feel good. And for me, just to take half an hour out, sitting on the deck in the sunshine with the pussycat on my lap, reading a chapter from this book, it doesn't get any better than that. It's so interesting. It's so enjoyable. It's so relaxing. It's so satisfying. It's so rich. And of course, this is my time. And the wonderful thing about this is watching the Beach Boys suddenly, you know, they're doing this stuff and round, get around, you know, she's real fine, my 409, and all these surfing songs. And it's the whole story of that and the mean bastard of a father and, you know, the brothers fighting. And it's a very, very well-researched, well-written book. Getting deeply into each of their lives, their marriages, their girlfriends, and what it was like to be these guys, you know. Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, they're doing each individual character. So the read itself is really enjoyable. But beyond that, it's my time. So when they're reading about, you know, when you're hearing early 60s, you know, surfing music, well, I was listening to that. That was on the radio. That was good. And you get out of good vibrations and so on. But meanwhile, the Beatles come along and the Beach Boys are in this panic. My God. And the first time they hear Rubber Soul, it destroys them. Because where are we going to go? You know, are we going to just stay these, you know, this our time is over. They were being made fun of. It's, well, you can't just talk about it. Suddenly you got hippies and drugs and stuff, and people, they want to listen to protest songs. They want to listen to Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. They want to listen to the Birds. They want to listen to this other stuff. How do the Beach Boys fit in? So I didn't realize that they were supposed to be one of the headliner acts at the Monterey Pop Festival. This is pre-Woodstock. This was the biggest thing, you know. And Jimi Hendrix was there. Jimmy was quoted or said, you know, at the end, something like, that's the last you'll hear of surfing music. You know, and he's getting up there wailing his electric guitar, probably on acid. And they chickened out like 2 weeks before. They had the last spot on the Saturday night, and they had some good music to do at this point that wasn't just surf and cars and girlfriends, but they were afraid they were going to be laughed at, and they backed out. The record company was pissed. Everybody was pissed at them. I think, was it Otis Redding or somebody got their spot? And that it's history, okay? And, well, we're not history. We're not about armies marching together and clashing. We're not talking about the Prussian Empire here. We're talking about a cultural, a social history, the history of my time, the history of the 60s. This is, I'm just eating this up, and it just gives me so much pleasure. And then it goes beyond that, because now I'm reading, I think, well, I got to listen to that song again, when he gives the story about what was going on in the studio, and who was involved, or the time Paul McCartney came in, and there's a song called Vegetables, a crazy song on Smiley Smile, because they just couldn't get together, and they couldn't complete Smile, which anybody listening to this has probably heard, oh yeah, Smile, didn't that come out just a while ago? Finally, this big deal, they finally released the album after how many years in the vault? So the record company Capitol said, no, well, you're going to put out Smiley Smile, and here's Paul McCartney drops by, he's visiting his girlfriend, and comes in and eats a celery stick, which they record, of course. God, I'm being overwhelmed by the smell of pot. People come here to Buffers Park to smoke weed, and it's billowing past me. You might hear a little music in the background. I kind of like it. I'm not smoking, but because I got a meeting tonight. I got to meet the new host family, and I got stuff to do. So I'm going on. I'm thinking, wow, like, what have I got in the Beach Boys? Well, I got Pet Sounds, of course. I've got Endless Summer. Those are great albums, but I do like going on to iTunes and looking. Holy shit, I mean, I can get these songs for $9.99. I can get this. And I come across this one album called Holland. I know Holland, and I listen, and I know all the songs. Just amazingly good songs. And I think, how come I know it so well? Where's my copy? And I can't find a copy anywhere. And so I go back in my 10 years of the Dixon James podcast. I've kept a record, a spreadsheet, you know, of every single song I played. Which, by the way, I am not going... You will not find me on Google Play. I am not registering. I read through the terms that you have to sign and agree to. I do not. I break them all. And it's just one of those things that I fear a little bit as podcasting grows and the bigger corporations get into it, they might start at any point. Nobody's going to come after me, but there's no point in me consciously saying something, and then it's like the life insurance thing, you know, are you a smoker? Well, yeah, I smoke pot occasionally, but I'm not a smoker. Well, hey, yes or no? You know, do you agree to these terms? Yes or no? Well, if I say yes, and I know quite well no, it's not true. I don't really have the permissions and the license to play. I don't know if anybody enjoyed the last three Dave Clark five songs I ran together there, but boy, it made me feel good on the last podcast. Anyway, I will not be on Google Play. Where were we? I'll go out and I listen to Holland, and I can't find a track. So I go through the 10 years of Dixon Jane's songs that I've played, like over 1,200 songs, and search Beach Boys. And man, I played a lot of them, but they're all from Pet Sounds. And in the summer, not a single one from Holland. So where it came from? I checked last night. I go down the basement. I check out my old cassette tapes. No, it's not there. So now, I got to decide whether I'm going to go, all right, pay the $10 and download it. Because, man, there's good music on that. And then you're reading others and you're reading reviews. And suddenly, you're consumed. The same way I was when I was reading Bill Wyman's, Keith Richards' biography. Autobiography. suddenly you want to get back into your early stones because it's your time, it's your history. So all I'm saying, boys and girls, if you're still with me, all I'm saying is I get so much deep, rich pleasure and joy out of just pursuing the things that interest me. Reading a book, listening to music. The stuff I did when I was young, when I was a university student. I'm doing it now at fucking age 68, and it's given me even more pleasure, perhaps on an even deeper level than before. So do not fear growing old. You know, do a better job looking after your body and get some exercise than I'm doing and watch your diet and all that shit. But it's not about just sort of, you know, we have this sense of, oh, your senses start to fade and you don't taste things as good and you just get kind of stupid and boring. Fuck you. Fuck you. Life is not like that. And I think we are, the generation from my time, are redefining old age. And I'm just telling you, this is one happy dude you're listening to because he's just got the joy of finding a used book because he just simply made a point of, hey, Brian, let's meet at the circus bookshops, see what they've got there, and then head over to the Only for a couple of pints in the afternoon. You just do things, right? You just do things. Don't get trapped in a box and say life is boring and I got nothing going on. Okay, I guess that's enough of a long rant. I don't know where I got to, if I ever did get back to what I started off on, and doesn't really matter. This guy beside me blowing his nose, and guys on the other side of me smoking weed. Oh, but it's a beautiful day here in Bluffers Park. And anyway, I got real things to do with my job. I just found out that the company I've been using for years and years and years, for student, for in Laidlaw, for booking buses to get my students around for the 6 days I need school buses to move 45 people all around Toronto. That company says, well, we don't know if we're still in this business anymore. Business has been down. We might not be doing it. Can't tell you till June. I'm thinking, hey, I can't wait till June. The girls are coming in July. I need a fucking school bus, man. So I have real world problems to deal with, too. It's not just fantasy and enjoyment and escapism and remembering the good old days. God. Yeah. So let me get back and deal with that. Thanks for listening, as always, and here's a tune I hope you're gonna enjoy, because I know I will, because I pick 'em. I pick 'em because I like 'em, and I'm gonna pick something I like, and it's probably gonna be the Beach Boys. Probably gonna be. Bye for now. Make it that much better when we can say goodnight.
This is CBC News. Good afternoon. I'm Tom Harrington with The World This Hour. At one time, he didn't use a name, just a strange-looking symbol. Today, Prince is being remembered as a symbol of musical genius and groundbreaking creativity. One of the world's most original pop stars was found dead at his Paisley Park recording studio near Minneapolis this morning. Distraught fans gathered there in the rain.
I just can't believe it's true. I just can't believe it. I just can't believe he's gone. I can't breathe. I just can't even talk.
Saw this report on Twitter that there was a death out here. You know, there's a lot of people that work out here, so I wasn't going to let my mind go there, even though he had been sick in the last week.
Yeah, he's left us, so right now I'm just kind of numb.
Police say there are no signs of foul play, but little is known beyond that. The CBC's Keith Vogue has the story.
There was no one like Prince, a music innovator who slipped easily from rock to soul to jazz, hip-hop, funk, and disco.
Ultimately, all music can be inspirational.
7 Grammy Awards, 4 MTV Awards, and Oscar.
He's up there with Michael Jackson. He's up there with James Brown.
Broadcaster Alan Cross, a historian of rock, says Prince burst into the 1980s on what was then the very edge of what was happening between music and visual arts.
You know, the early Prince was very sexy, very erotic, very explicit. But then towards the end of the 80s into the 90s, he gave all that up, and he wouldn't perform those songs anymore. He became much more straight-laced, much more straight-edged.
His first manager was Owen Husney.
I've worked and been around almost every one of the major stars in the history of this business, and I have never met anyone with this kind of brilliance.
In spite of Prince's prolific production, 4 new albums in just the last 18 months, there is still much that has never been released, says Husney.
The body of work that Prince will leave, it's yet to be discovered at this point, and I think it's going to be phenomenal for years and years to come. Again, he was supposed to outlive me. This is not supposed to be this way.
The circumstances of his death are still unclear. He'd been on tour, performed in Toronto recently. Last week, his plane made an emergency landing in Illinois because of a health scare. But it seemed like a fluke, not something that could threaten the life of someone whose trademark was a seemingly boundless energy. He was 57. Keith Vogue, CBC News, Washington.
The once towering case against Senator Mike Duffy crashed to the ground today. An Ontario court judge acquitted him of all 31 charges of bribery, breach of trust, and fraud.
Okay, well, behind me, you would have heard the news that Prince is dead. Sad, I really like Prince. Never saw him in concert, of course. Was blown away by Purple Rain and the movie. But I don't want to go on about it. It's... We're losing a lot of people. The report saying how much more music is going to be coming out, you know, and so it's not the last we've heard of Prince, and his music, his art, his creativity will live on long after his death today. The Queen is 90, and I love my Queen. I think she's a fabulous, just an amazing woman who has worked hard and has been dedicated and is... almost above reproach. And I know the people out there, oh, I'm down with royalty. Yeah, it's fine. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean you're stupid if you say down with royalty. I lean that way myself in most other cases, except for Queen Elizabeth, my darling queen. We won't go on about that either. Because it'll annoy some of you, and that's it. Other big news, the Marsha McLuhan Podcaster Roundtable has been scheduled. The dates have been announced. I believe it's in July 8th to 10th, something like that. You will know, if anybody who's listening to this podcast, many of you will be... wanting to know, and we'll be following that story. And some of my American friends, I will get to see, which is great news, because that doesn't happen often enough. So we'll come back to that a little later, too. There's lots of time, but I'm just glad to know that it does fall on a day or weekend when I'm not away with my Japanese students. I may be busy with some issues that weekend, arranging homestays and so on, but I will certainly be able to make it to Hamilton for some of the events, and look forward to seeing people and interacting and having a beer or two and a toke and all the things that go with good conversation and good friends. Okay, park that one. I am consumed by this book on the Beach Boys. The wonderful thing is to walk into a bookstore because you know it's time. I was really disappointed in the last book that I had about all the things that happened in the valley, you know, in California where, you know, the Charlie Manson lived and Dennis Wilson worked with him. He basically, for one point, took over Brian Wilson's life. Like, just showed up at his house like a thief in the night with all these topless women. And, of course, the menfolk cave, you know. Some dude's going to come around and leave these women who are open to sex anywhere, anytime. These multiple orgies that Charles Manson would orchestrate. It's frightening to think how close these people got. And occasionally he'd brandish a knife and a couple of people started, hey, whoa, there's something weird about this guy. I think he's dangerous. And yet he'd be there and he would help himself to, you know, the Beach Boys, or Brian anyway, and Dennis, I guess, fed him, gave him money, let him use their cars, their houses. They lived there, gave him his all the clothes he wanted. Just a weird, weird hold he had over so many people. I mean, you see the sort of the prison pictures of Charles Manson, you think, oh my God, how could anybody fall for that? But apparently, I mean, they had him in the recording studio, stuff that's not released. But it's spooky. So anyway, the idea that, okay, I need a book to make up for that last one. Well, you go into a good news bookshop and you don't know what you're going to find. It's not like a new shop or ordering on Amazon. You're browsing. And I find this one. I put it in my hand and I don't know if I really want to read. How interesting could that be? Well, by golly. What helps is that it is so well written by this author, Stephen Gaines, who also wrote The Love You Make, an insider story of the Beatles, which was also very good, and I also have in my collection. Excellent writing, an amazing amount of research, and these are the things that I hated about that other book, that it was terrible, lazy writing, and just a lot of surmising and guesswork and patching things together and trying to draw the reader along to jump to false conclusions. So, nasty stuff. This book is, wow, really, really, really worth reading. I'd recommend it to anybody if you ever happen to see a copy of it. Fascinating story because, especially the look inside the recording studio and the idea of the contracts and all the people that were involved and all the women involved and, oh, my God. There's just so much to that story. One part, I'm just going to read one quick little passage. Can you tell I'm also scrolling through my photos trying to find the name of that book I don't like? It's somewhere here because I posted it on a Twitter account and the thing is it doesn't really matter. Okay, this passage. We're talking about Brian and, you know, how he needed psychiatric help. He was like a basket case. He just ballooned. He got fat. He wouldn't get out of bed. He really, really was sick. Strung out on cocaine, smoking weed every single day. And just not able to get in there. Basically, he cracked under the pressure. And a lot of people thought, well, it's just drugs. It's just drugs, man. We got to get him off the drugs. But it was not recognizing that he had a real mental breakdown. Other examples of Brian's drifting mental state are even more poignant. One day, Paul McCartney came to visit Brian, and when Brian heard he was at the house, he became petrified, although he had met McCartney several times before. He raced outside to the chauffeur's quarters and locked himself inside. McCartney knocked on the door for 20 minutes, but Brian would not come out. All he could hear were the gentle sounds of Brian weeping. You know, that's sad. It really is sad, and on it goes. But you get drawn in, and it's a fascinating story of each of the different characters that are pretty well fleshed out. I think certainly Stephen Gaines has favorites. Mike Love doesn't come across too well. Brian, I guess he has a great deal of empathy for. Everybody liked the youngest son, Carl, who basically held the group together towards the end. Crazy stories. Like, they figured, okay, we need a change. We've got to put a new album. They've got a contract with Warner. They ended their contract with Capitol. They got a contract with Warner Records. And they're just putting out crap. It just wasn't very good. Everybody was taking a turn at it, and they'd lost that. They had to move on from just girls and surfing and hot cars, but they kind of lost their way, and Brian wasn't contributing, or if it was, it was some strange fairy tale or something. So, God, I guess this is just going to be about the Beach Boys. I guess all I want to say is it's really fun and exciting to just lose yourself in something. And I know tomorrow I've got to go to Great Escape Bookshop right on Kingston Road near Vic Park to find another book, because there's that terrible sense of loss when you finish a book. I'm on just about page 300. God damn it, I've only got 50 pages left or so. And it's painful. Like, I need something. I need a fix. I've got to get going. And it's got to be something that will draw me in just as well. And biographies usually do it. So, yeah, they moved. Manager decided, okay, we need a change. We got to get those creative juices flowing. Move the entire band and their wives and girlfriends and managers and everybody else to Holland and put them up in houses they rented. They bought a couple of VWs. They rented a fleet, another six cars. Then they realized, well, we don't have the recording equipment. They flew it in from the States. Of course, it blew up. It didn't work. They had to bring in technicians. They had to fly the stuff in piece by piece. Like, incredible amounts of money. Blown away. Just nuts. So I'm caught. I still want that album, Holland. But it's bugging me because I've had it and lost it. And I just don't know where it went. And I'm just trying to hold myself back from spending the $10 to get some songs that who knows how often I'll listen to, except that I'd want to put it in this podcast. So you're not going to hear Prince. You're going to hear Beach Boys, because that's where I'm at. And, well, we'll just have to see what happens. So there you go. 10 minutes. It's a rainy Thursday. I got more work done today, but also spent some beautiful time just lying on my back in a reclining chair with Yuki on my lap reading the Beach Boys. Some of you will have seen that on my Facebook post. And, it's good. I'm saying you got to do what you got to do. You got to enjoy life. There's a cute little squirrel hanging onto this big tree, looking at me, saying, hey, what do you got for me, bud? You got something for me? Yeah, I'm parked at the St. Andrew's Cemetery, looking out of the gravestones. Perfect on a rainy day. It's actually quite lovely. And barbecue tonight. That means goody, goody, goody. I get into the red wine. Friday, I often give myself sort of a day off, but I got bits and pieces still to take care of for my my study tours. I still got to find homes and stuff, but it's all good. I enjoy it all. Life is good. How boring can you be? But I'll try to make up for it if I meet you in person. I'll try to get a buzz on. Oh, the other thing, Mike Love really, really, really got off on the Maharishi. Went to India with the Beatles at that time. and flew off in the middle of a recording when they were supposed to be putting some together to fulfill contractual obligations, flew off to Europe, Switzerland, I guess, where this was the time, and I remember it so well, where they were promising yogic flying. And basically, it was a lot of people bouncing on their bums. But the Maharishi had promoted, yes, you can go, and you can learn to fly. And, of course, people signed up. And then when the news got a hold of it, it became a bit of a joke, sadly. Because, yeah, it was too sad. So there's a whole lot in the middle here about the Beatles and about, you know, their interaction with the Beach Boys and the time of the Maharishi and what it meant. And he even wanted to put out a whole album devoted to the Maharishi. They wrote a song about TM and so on. It's just, I don't know. I don't have to convince you. It doesn't matter. I think the point is, each and every one of you out there should find something that you're passionate about, that you care about. And I know that some of the people you listen to on other podcasts, it's quite obvious that they're already that way. And it just makes life richer. Sorry. And that's something you got to do. You got to plumb the depths. You got to get in there. You got to feel. You got to get excited. You got to get a buzz going. You got to just want to know more and just be excited and be lost in another world, you know? And it's so easy with the Beach Boys, it's just so easy to picture because it is of my time. And, you know, when they're talking about these places, these concerts, these things, you just know it. All right. I'm stopping. Jesus. So, Scarborough Dude signing out. And here is another tune. Hope you like it because I'm pretty damn sure it's going to be a Beach Boys. Oh, yeah. Bye for now.
Free speech and later on at People's Park. The winds of change fanned into flame, student demonstration spark. Down to Isla Vista, where police felt so harassed. They called the special riot squad, the LA County Sheriff. When there's a riot going on, there's a riot going on, there's a riot going on. Student demonstration time. And state brothers learn not to say nasty things about southern policemen's mother. Nothing much was said about it, and really next to nothing done. The pen is mightier than the sword, but no match for a gun. When there's a riot,
yeah.
Okay. I'm sitting almost guiltily in my car because I should be outside. The sun has come out, breaking the clouds. It's a beautiful Friday, April 21st, 22nd, Earth Day, I believe. 22nd, yeah. Mid-afternoon, almost 3 o'clock. I was on my way to my accountant's. I had an appointment with her Saturday. I said, I've just got to come in, sign some papers. She does my personal as well as business accounts. And I thought, well, why don't I free up Saturday and just race in there now? So I got halfway there and I passed the Great Escape Bookshop. And I thought, you know, as I've been saying, you're going to be finished Heroes and Villains very, very soon. You need a backup book. You really need a backup book. So I stopped in there first. And by the time I got out with one book, not two, one book, my account was no longer in the office. So that's fine. I go tomorrow. But meanwhile, I'm coming out with a book and I'm happy about it. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. First of all, I have to tell you again the name of the book that pissed me off so much. Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. Laurel Canyon, Covert Ops in the Dark Heart of the Hippie Dream by David McCowan. A lazy bit of work under a head press. Not recommended. It's done nothing but annoy me. But the thing is, I am going to go back and read once more the chapter about Dennis Wilson in the Endless Vibrations chapter. I mean, mainly it centers around the one and only bad guy, Charlie Manson. And I already mentioned that about how it was just unbelievable how these guys got so tied up. It looks like, and when I'm looking at this book, it's as if he's just lifted directly whole passages, maybe shifted the words around, but in terms of the content, straight out of the Good Beach Boys book by Stephen Gaines. I had another book in my hand, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die. Now, can you guess who that's by? Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die. $8. I had it in my hand for a long time. I flipped through it and decided, no, I really don't need this today. There's one voice saying, of course you do, dude. You gotta have that one. But it was Willie Nelson. And it was just sort of clips and little anecdotes. And it's like the kind of book a person might write when they're stoned. And, of course, Willie is stoned every day. And just little, you know, lyrics from songs, which are good enough. And then something from his daughter, a roadie, and this people doing different things. But nothing, certainly wasn't a biography, and nothing really that I needed. Unless I already had a Willie Nelson collection, and this was missing, then I would have got it. But no, that's not the case. Instead, I picked up, you won't believe this. Here's the thing again. You go into a used bookshop, and you're not sure what you're going to find. And I'm not talking about bookshops that just sort of recycle books and all they got is large volumes of Harlequin romance. I'm talking about good used bookshops that they cultivate, they screen, they don't take, you know, crap. You know, they try and have good stuff, and it's organized by literature, biography, by sci-fi, by, you know, everything, Canadiana, poetry, history, and then subcategorized. All right, anyway. It's one of those bookshops, okay? Right on Kingston Road, not far west of Victoria Park. So I'm going in, I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to find? I mean, there's really nothing to follow the Beach Boys. I don't want to read about some other band. I don't want to read about Nirvana or somebody else that I don't care as much. I don't have as much invested. Although, having said that, I think maybe I need to read about Nirvana. But anyway, so I'm thinking, well, I could come out empty-handed. You know, I've paid my $1 for parking on the street. That's okay. It's a contribution to the tax. The city needs it. But I'm not just going to pick up anything because I need another book. And I find a book called Wonderful Tonight. Well, anybody, right away, that'll ring a bell, right? You'll know. Wonderful Tonight? Okay, yeah, I know. Wasn't that an Eric Clapton tune? Yeah. Well, if it's Eric Clapton, and it's a biography, but it's not Eric Clapton, and there's a picture of a beautiful blonde woman on the cover, yes. Wonderful Tonight. George Harrison, Eric Clapton, and me. Number one New York Times bestseller, Patty Boyd. And, of course, with the ghostwriter with Penny Jr. a scrumptious memoir. Now, you may think, oh, my, really? And I'm thinking, yeah, really? I didn't want another. They had a ton of other Beatles books, and I can't even keep track of which Beatles books I've got and don't have, but I needed a book. Now, I'm not defending this. I'm proud of it. Hey, yeah, wow. Hey, I got out with a book that I actually want to read. It's going to be from a woman's perspective, which is neat. It's going to be behind the scenes. It's going to have intimate details about two people I really do care a lot about, Eric Clapton and George Harrison. And it's going to be fun. It's got some neat pictures in it. Oh, yeah, lots of pictures. Ooh, color even. And, hey, for $8.95, this is wonderful. So there you go. I've got my book. You know, can I just read the back? Patty Boyd, former wife of both George Harrison and Eric Clapton, finally breaks a 40-year silence and tells the story of how she found herself bound to two of the most addictive, promiscuous musical geniuses of the 20th century and became the most legendary muse in the history of rock and roll. The woman who inspired Harrison's song Something and Clapton's anthem Layla, Patty Boyd has written a book that is rich and raw, funny and heartbreaking, and totally honest. Now, I worry a little it's going to be a little bit girly. You know, like she's not a hard rocker type. And it's just a slight concern it's going to be a little too nice, too cute, too pretty, too, you know, I don't know how many other scenes that are outrageous you're going to have. But anyway, good. I'm enjoying it. Now, as far as the Beach Boys go, I've come to like Dennis Wilson. Now, I jumped ahead. I went straight up to Wikipedia because I gotta stay with this stuff. I haven't finished the book yet. But I gotta know who's dead. Who's dead in the Beach Boys? And of course that's a question many people have asked. Google it and you'll find who's dead in the Beach Boys. Carl Wilson died, and I didn't realize that quite in the 2000s, I guess. He was the youngest brother, stricken with cancer, unfortunately, of the brain and lungs. They were heavy-duty smokers. Brian, at one point, was smoking 4 or 5 packs a day, but, you know, when he was bedridden. Just an addict. And that was sort of the end of that. So they've had their reunion since then, and they were all suing each other at the end and so on. And but the tragic part, the part I haven't got to in the book, so I sort of spoiled it, was Dennis Wilson drowned when he was just 39 years old. Drunk, dove into the water off his boat. He had a boat he loved, a very expensive boat that was made in Japan in the 50s, and got it, you know, had to sell it, got it back, lost it, you know, whatever. Anyway, he's out in the water, dives in to retrieve something that fell overboard, and he never made it back up. And that's a terrible waste and a terrible tragedy. So meanwhile, I think I told you yesterday, I'm still trying to decide, do I click the iTunes buy button, $9.99, and buy Holland? And I don't know how many times I've gone through listening to every cut on it. And there's a fairy tale that Brian wrote about a magic transistor radio that he was working on that while the others were trying to put out an album because they had a deal, a contract. And nobody wants to hear Brian Wilson telling a children's fairy tale. So what they did, Carl, in order to fulfill contract obligations, they put out an album, and then they included Brian's thing as a little, an extended, a little LP or EP of this fairy tale thing. So now when you go and buy Holland, you get that extra thing included and one bonus track. And I'm thinking, well, why not? And it's the weirdest thing. It's haunting me because I know the song so well. Like, I... why did I never play out on Dixon Jane's? Why don't I have a copy anywhere? Why am I holding myself back from clicking the buy button for a measly $10? Because I'm thinking maybe I'll play one tune on this podcast and never play another one again. Maybe that's why. So I go on, I think, well, maybe there's another Beach Boys. And then I find out, oh my God, there's Pacific Ocean Boulevard. Or no, sorry, Pacific Ocean Blue. Huh? Dennis Wilson, recorded in 77. And of course, yeah, I remember reading about that in the book, and it got the people who liked it, the critics and so on, said, this is amazing, this is really good. Sales were down. Record companies just dropped it. They just let it go. Boom, Forget it. We're not reissuing that. And it just dropped out of sight until it was reissued recently with another album he started to make and never finished. So it was really incomplete, called Bamboo. And so now you get the two of them for $16.99. So suddenly I'm like, oh no, am I going to spend $16.99 to get an album that's not a Beach Boys album, but it's Dennis Wilson. Did I say Brian? I mean Dennis Wilson. And he's the one he's the most real. He was the best looking. He was just a sex fiend. Like, he was just, that's all that was on his mind was women. And, you know, these Beach Boys, they're chasing these 15-year-old California girls. You know, they're marrying them. You know, okay, 16th birthday, we're getting married. Crazy stuff. And he was dating a beautiful, an actress, a fairly well-known, that Karen Lamb, I believe. I don't know her from anything, but yeah, they listen to a whole list of movies and just fights and horror. And then meanwhile, he's just picked this most beautiful woman, but man, there's another pretty girl over there at the soda fountain. Oh, I gotta have sex with her. And it just goes on and on. These guys are just dogs. So his voice by then, because he was an addict, because he was an alcoholic, his voice is really rough and raw. So I listened to the whole bloody album today, or the fragments you can get on iTunes. That is the beauty of iTunes, you know. I'm not going to hear it anywhere else. Just go there and click. Okay, let me hear each cut. Try a little bit of each cut. And there's some good stuff and some stuff that I think I want. And I think, well, do I really want it? What does it mean? Why do I need to have it? I have to have the books. I get why I need the books. But do I really need the music when I've got so many bloody songs anyway? And how often do I really record? And really, the only reason I'm buying anything is so I can give it to you in a podcast and say, hey, here's a tune you might like. It's one I like. Maybe you don't know this one. And, you know, that just makes it even more of an expensive hobby. Well, you're buying all this music just for the podcast. But, you know, hey, that's the joy and the fun of it. So, anyway, I'm just about, okay, all right, maybe I'm going to get Pacific Ocean Blue and buy that and forget Holland. And then I keep going around and said, oh, wait a minute, they had their 50th anniversary. Of course, there's a concert and a tour, and they're trying to get money back, and who's left? Two of them are already dead. 2012, they release That's Why God Made the Radio, a song that Brian had written long ago, re-released, and they say it's an album, and it's so-so, but the last three tracks are amazing. It's a redemption. Best thing they've done in 20 years or something. So they go, Jesus Christ now. Well, should I just buy the last three cuts at $1.29 and just download them and the hell with the rest of it? Or, in this case, $11.99. Geez, pay the whole... What the hell? You know? Anyway, I'm just telling you all this. It's trivia to you. Like, it's just me babbling on about the process of decision-making and this need to think things through and analyze every decision and decide at the end which is the right one. Well, the right one was me going to the bookstop and coming up with a new book to take the place of the Beach Boys book so that I'm not without, like I've got my fix for next week. Good. That's positive. And I told myself, Ken, dude, go out, record your podcast clip, whatever you got to do, but don't buy any of those things yet. You don't need it. Wait till you come home and you might be feeling differently. So who knows? Am I going to buy Holland? Am I going to buy Pacific Ocean Blue? Am I going to buy That's Why God Made the Radio? Or am I going to buy all three of them and say, fuck you, it's my birthday on Monday. I can buy all three of them. You know, it's just that kind of thing a guy does. Now I'm thinking, yeah. Stay tuned. You'll hear a song, and if you want to know what it is, it'll be on the blog anyway. You know, if you can't identify the song yourself, it'll be there. Anyway, 15 minutes. I think this is just about it. I love this routine now I have of a Friday I record. Saturday morning I smash all the pieces together, choose a few tunes. Although I've already chosen two of the tunes for this one. One from Pet Sounds, and the other from... Surf's Up, called Student Demonstration Time, which is a very, you would not guess at all that was the Beach Boys, just an oddity that they threw in there, and
I kind of like it because they really were self-conscious. They really were afraid. People are going to laugh at us because our time is past. We're like these guys, these clean-cut California boys, and the world out there has changed, and how do we fit in? And sometimes they forgot it was their beautiful harmonizing that people really liked. And it's an amazing, I cannot recommend it highly enough. If you just like, if you're interested in rock history, if you're interested in a little bit of Americana, if you're interested in just tuning into, even though they started in the 60s, it's like you're looking at the tail end of the 50s, that whole California lifestyle. And some tragedy. I mean, basically the whole story, a lot of it centers around the abusiveness of their father, Murray, who was just a prick and claims that everything he did for them. But man, he was not a nice man. And he basically destroyed them as much as he insisted he was making them stronger. You know, that old story. So that's part of it. So anyway, I guess you've heard of this. Is definitely, this entire podcast has been about the Beach Boys. But I hope it's more than that. I hope you realize, no, really what I'm talking about is having some passion for something, getting interest in stuff, following through. Don't just sort of, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. Get into it. You let yourself go. Let yourself be carried away. You know, dig a little deeper. Have fun with it. Just, you know, live it a little, you know, milk it, whatever. Anyway, it's gorgeous now. I'm at this wonderful, wonderful facility. I'm going to take a little drive around, and I think I'm actually going to sit outside and just enjoy the view of Lake Ontario. So that's it, Scarborough Dude. Signing off for this week, and catch you next week. Bye for now.
I had to fix a lot of things this morning, 'cause they were so scrambled. But now it's okay, I tell you I've got enough to do. The afternoon was filled up with phone calls. What a hot, sticky day. If you decide to come, you're gonna do it right. Drive for a couple miles, you see a sign and turn left for a couple blocks. Next is mine, you'll turn left on a little road. It's a bumpy one, you'll see a white fence. Move the gate and drive through on the left side. Come right in and you'll find me in my house somewhere, keeping busy while I wait. I get a lot of thoughts in the morning, I write them all down. If it wasn't for that, I'd forget them in a while. And lately I've been thinking about a good friend I'd like to see more of. Yeah. I think I'll make a call. Couldn't find it, so I sat and concentrated on the number, and slowly it came to me. So I dialed it and I let it ring a few times. There was no answer, so I let it ring a little more. Still no answer, so I hung up the telephone, got some paper and sharpened up